I don't need them. Lord knows I don't need them. Telling me I can see them, but I never need them. Listen close to my leader. They tell me that they need me, but they trying to deceive me. I'm free now, please leave me. I'm taking my freedom now. I'm living in freedom now. I'm taking my freedom now. I'm taking my freedom now. I'm taking my freedom back. I'm taking my freedom back. I'm living in freedom now.
Two, one. So, good night, good day, good morning, good evening. I just hope it's good wherever you are. And I want to say welcome back to Inquisitive Minds. And we in for a treat today, guys. In our last episode, we freestyled a little bit and we started to talk about a topic that I find was so intriguing. We had to reach out and see who we could bring onto the podcast to kind of give us a heads up into this topic. But before we go there, I want to use this opportunity to say, you know, thanks to all the listeners who have been kind of holding it down with us. We're going to be talking a lot about different topics this year, and we want to say thank you and to continue to listen as we talk in more sense in sneakers, right? So let me use this opportunity to introduce the other co-hosts, and I'll do it a little bit differently. So I'll ask my brother in philosophy, Ricardo, to say goodnight and to say what's up. What's going on, Ricardo?
Yeah, wait, I good. The place a little warm. I know what it is going on this last round, but it's the type of thing that we talk about and nobody take us on. Who do here go feel? And I believe we start to feel it.
And they're talking about El Nino. I don't know if there's El Nino already, boy.
That is still a thing?
Yeah, boy. And it's serious.
I see an article talking about we're going to hit that critical point within the next 5 years.
Yep.
So, what we could do again, boy? It reach?
Reach.
Buy more
do
vests.
What we have to do.
Only lucky I nearly come on bareback this evening. No.
Please, no.
Oh, Lord. And we on YouTube now, huh?
That we would have got pulled down for policy violations, honestly.
Well, I know you're hearing the original himself, the intellectual and the creative, DJ Aaron 868. Come in, Chief. What's going on, Papa?
A pleasant good day, good evening, good night to everybody who's locked out to Inquisitive Minds. It's really a pleasure to be here with you all again. What's going on? I think, you know, they say that they have stages in life where you're supposed to be doing more of one thing than the other. I'm realizing now that at this stage I'm at, I'm attending more funerals and celebrations. Guys, to everybody out there who's listening, please take care of yourself. Take care of your health. And as we say in the living room, Ricardo, we're asking everybody to be fit. And fitness, we're not just talking about just going and be able to run the savannah in 22 minutes. I can't do that, but I just say. We ask you need to get fit. So say about your physical fitness, your mental fitness, your spiritual fitness, your financial fitness, and emotional fitness. Yeah.
I love it. I love that. So,
but also make sure and try to get a little physical too now, please. And watch where you're eating.
Yes,
yeah.
Thanks for that, Aaron.
And don't just watch it from your hand to your mouth, just saying. Or watch it in the microwave. But really, really monitor what you're eating and be very careful about it.
Amen and amen.
How are you going, Zoom?
Boy, I mean, it's one day at a time, huh? I mean, yesterday I had one of the engineers by me show a video. Say the higher up in the organization you go, they pay you to solve more and more complex problems. But the problems that come in is the kind of complexity that you don't know what to do by us. Like some days I'll be like, why am I here and why am I doing this? You know, it's one of those weeks I'm going through right now. But God is good. We holding on and we're trying to serve the greater good that we have here. We have to serve. You understand? Boy, but we in for a treat today, guys, because you know our listeners know we like to talk about, you know, trending topics, but in our own way of talking about trending topics. And today we really want to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence. And, you know, the title of the episode is Listen, the Genie Out of the Bag. Eh? It is out of the bag. And we have two guests that we reached out to on social media and asked, listen, anybody could, because this is a field where you really had to get a diverse kind of viewpoint. And we have two guests that we wanted to invite to bring their diversity to this particular topic. And I want to use the opportunity to first introduce Sherman Stewart. You know, Sherman is an accomplished IT professional, you know, who's innovative in the field of IT and artificial intelligence with an understanding of technology and looking at technology that is his passion to push the boundaries of providing solutions to organizations, and AI is one of these solutions, right? He recognizes the immense potential of artificial intelligence to help revolutionize industries and really transform the way we work. And, you know, that is exactly in line with the conversation that we want to have. So we will be drawing upon Sherman's extensive experience in IT and looking at AI and human capabilities and how those things are actually going to interact. So Sherman, thanks a lot for coming on, and, you know, let's say hi to our audience. How are you doing, Chief?
I'm good. I'd just like to, you know, say thanks to the host of the podcast for inviting me, this invitation. And, you know, I have an extensive background in IT in all different areas, you know, and I hope that what I bring today will be beneficial to all, and, you know, we can get some deep understanding of where artificial intelligence is at this point and where it will be in the next, probably let's say 6 months for the most. All right.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks a lot, man. And we're going to introduce our second guest, all right? Anthony, how do you pronounce your last name? I didn't want to say it and then I embarrassed myself.
It's pronounced Zamor.
Zamor. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that you heard everybody and you're seeing him on the screen as Anthony Zamor. Right, so Anthony is currently a director with a Big Four audit firm, where he leads the cybersecurity practice. Right, he's been in the industry for 17 years, and he has professional experience in a number of domains: cybersecurity, forensic technology, IT auditing, forensic investigations. Right, developing and supervised learning models for fraud and accounting. He has professional qualifications, degree in accounting, ACCA. And there's a lot of letters here, and I'm going through them. CSCBSP, CISA, GPEN, and CISSP. I know there's a lot inside of there, but the man is very, very qualified in this area, and he has a lot to offer in terms of knowledge in this area. So, Anthony, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for answering the call. I really do appreciate it. Welcome.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thanks for reaching out, and really excited for the conversation. So, thank you, guys.
No problem at all. And let me start off by saying, listen, like for me, all right, coming from the risk management space, which is a continuum, so, you know, it's always either not so great, you know, you have a lot of uncertainty, or maybe, okay, you know, you understand the probability and consequence of something happening. So I kind of took this view of artificial intelligence as, okay, it's kind of ubiquitous. So it's like electricity. It's like the internet. It's the thing that is you're going to use to kind of better things. And, you know, I remember an older guy telling me, you know, when computers first came into the industry, people was striking against it, right? They didn't want it because they think it was just going to take jobs, and maybe it did, but it actually created new jobs, you know, and created new positions and stuff like that. And so I was kind of middle of the road until I heard the CEO of Google, I think it was on 60 Minutes, and what he was saying is that, listen, these AI technologies that they're developing, they had a situation where they was asking the model questions in Bengali. They never taught it Bengali. And it learned Bengali and responded in Bengali when it was not trained in how to analyze Bengali language. And I was like, okay. You see, that That's a little bit scary. And he said that's the black box that they don't know how it did it. And the person said, so that's not bothering you? And he said, well, we don't know how the human mind is work, you know, but we just accept it. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to pay attention to this thing a little bit more. So I start off with that because I am now a little bit on the more on the uncertainty side of the spectrum. And I want to throw this out to you. There's some things that maybe there are things that we could expect with the technology that is going to come and things that it can help us improve. So I want to throw this out to you, Sherman. What do you think about this technology that our public needs to be aware of in terms of what it's going to do for us? And that is the first part. Like, what it is about this technology that we need to pay attention to? Because for me, it was middle of the road, and now I kind of paying attention. So, and I'm asking the question to both of you, but I can kind of talk to you, Sherman. What do you think that we need to pay attention to with this technology?
All right, so what I would say is that we have to look at it as there are good aspects of the technology and there's obviously bad parts of the technology, right? And the public, well, I would say Trinidad, we're not so receptive as yet to the technology, because when advertising, I'll be on the podcast, I got some messages on how and, you know, what is artificial intelligence, right? And it will be disruptive, right? But what we see in it right now is like anything new. We know trying to regulate how it would be used, right? And I see where it would help in automation of routine and repetitive tasks. You know, yeah, I could, you know, automate tasks that were previously performed by humans, leading to increased efficiency and productivity of industries such as manufacturing and transport and consumer service, right? So that's just one thing I'll be looking at there, right? As in terms of automation, and then there's in terms of the job market, and even there's also ethical considerations that AI would raise, you know? So I hope that, you know, could answer the question, or, you know? But as I say, as we go along, we'll get a little deeper into it. Because this, just today I was looking at a bus with the news of AI, and this will affect humanity and the whole, you know? You understand? That's the size of the scale we had to look at it, you know? And from here on out, things the way we do things would change, right? And I would say, just like some people, you know, we drag our foot on the .com bubble, you know, this is not something that we should be laid back with, because it will pass us. Because when ChatGPT came out to the public on November 30th, I've been using it since, you know, and we know in May, and the amount of advancements and stuff, I have examples I could share, stuff like that, with in terms of what it's capable of, it is scary. Honestly, it is scary. Just they'll release a AI powered soulmate, right? I have a video of her there, and she isn't real. She's a AI, the world's first AI influencer, where everything that she creates is fake, is nothing real, you know? But people, you know, it have people who gravitate into it. She could chat with you in voice, like how we talking just here. She could make gestures. She could send you WhatsApp messages. If you request any type of pictures, you know, she could generate pictures and send. She on Twitter, right? So that's how disruptive this thing would be.
So that all, I mean, That in itself is mind-blowing, that we're talking about that all of the above approach. But, you know, it's really a mind-boggling and opening up eyes. But Anthony, what's your thoughts, Quay, in terms of what about this technology we need to pay attention to? Many people like me who kind of middle of the road.
Yeah, I'd say first and foremost, it's important not to anthropomorphize the technology. Yeah? We have a tendency as human beings to think about certain technologies in terms of its humanness. And it's important to understand that AI is not human, first and foremost, right? It uses a lot of models, complex models, but the intelligence that it exhibits is intelligence that is far from a human level intelligence at the moment. That being said, it has certainly has the capability to surpass human level intelligence. So I think it's important to look at it as any other technology is simply a tool at the moment. Understanding that it's a tool, we must think about how it would ultimately impact our lives, especially in terms of knowledge work. AI is probably the most, is probably the biggest, or introduces the biggest change to knowledge work that we've seen since the advent of computers. Yeah, and the advent of computers certainly had a lot of both positive and negative. People lost their jobs, new jobs were created, and so forth. AI, on the other hand, is a type of technology that increases in terms of its capability at an exponential rate. Now, take for example, ChatGPT. ChatGPT was the fastest app to gain 1 million users. I think they gained 1 million users in under a month. To put that into perspective, when you look at apps like Instagram, Facebook, and whatnot, took several months, years. If you look at the internet, years. If you go far back as electricity, which is a fundamental technology that shaped the 20th century, certainly took decades before we got to 1 million users. AI is an exponential technology. The rate of advancement in AI, it is incredible. And I don't think we understand how the advancement of these exponential technologies will fundamentally change our lives. So just to recap, first and foremost, don't personify the technology. It's a tool at the moment. Secondly, understand that the tool has wide-reaching implications, especially for knowledge work. And I think number three, understand that it's exponential. Right before we started the podcast, you had mentioned things taking a while to get to Trinidad. The playing field is level. The distance between the distance or the rate at which technology is dispersed across barriers is that distance is paper thin, you know?
Yes.
So what going on in Silicon Valley today could impact us tomorrow. Yeah, so that is the 10,000 foot view context.
Thanks for that, fellas. What do they think, boy? Are they scared of me? I like me, or are being irrational here?
Yeah, I don't think you should be scared.
Scared, yeah. No.
I think it's a matter of understanding the technology. So is not to be scared of it. In terms of, like, as a technology, there's a lot that we could do with it. There's a lot of opportunity for gains, for massive gains. My mental model of seeing a lot of things in the world is that of arbitrage. I think everything is ultimately an arbitrage play. What I mean by that is profits or gains is the difference between knowing and not knowing. Yeah. So if you look at the stock market, the people who are super successful in the stock market, all they have is more knowledge than the people who are not super successful, and they have access to that knowledge at a much faster rate. AI gives you the advantage as a creator. You could create much faster. In any field, you could do whatever you do much, much faster and much more efficiently. So it should be embraced from that perspective. The wider implications of things like that is ultimately the marginal cost of everything would go to zero with AI. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a clap for that one.
Yeah, so everything will get cheaper. Everything. The cost of producing art would be so cheap that it would lose its monetary value. Yeah, the cost of doing knowledge work would be so cheap that people would be out of jobs. However,
talked about it too. I mean, your influencer role and all getting taken over.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it's a two-edged sword, like all technologies. But it's important to see the opportunities. The opportunities really closing that information gap, that information asymmetry gap. That's where the opportunities lie for those who wise enough to realize it. They could grab onto the technology, harness it, and make super normal profits. This to me is the greatest time to be alive.
Sorry, I second that.
Well, I see Aaron raised his hand slightly when the marginal cost talk come up. Mm-hmm. I know his finance mind probably.
Yeah.
Honestly, guys, I am seeing it as a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because the advancement of knowledge is something which we all need to strive for. However, humanity has a certain touched it. So it kind of hard for me to be like, yeah, go AI. But at the same time here, people going to lose more jobs in our already dwindling economy. So hearing marginal cost going down, but also hearing at the same time, the novelty of a great piece of art to be generated via AI. It just doesn't sit right with me personally.
What part of it doesn't sit right with you?
Again, the novelty of saying this came from... I'm trying to remember who painted the painting I have in my living room. But yeah, it came from Ricardo Mitchell. Nah, I don't have man. I don't have that kind of money. Right? But my piece of art from Ricardo Mitchell is now could now be generated by user 17853.
Mm-hmm.
If you just play pick four, you could play them numbers tomorrow. Like five numbers.
But what is wrong with that? Fundamentally, if we go
it's just the human touch.
Yeah.
But what is the human touch?
That is a big question.
Yeah, I know that's a big question.
What is the human touch?
Yeah, that's a big question. And I think that's something I have to ponder on now.
Mm-hmm.
Because beside my field of being an accountant, I'm also a DJ. So now I have to think, hey, what's going on? Is it that user 17583 is going to be spinning in the boat ride on next week? Because
possibly, yes, but you know, what we said that say that I think you all know about the case with Drake and the Weeknd song that they removed from. There's a song, I think it's Ghostwriters something on TikTok. Took AI and train it with the voice of Drake and the voice of The Weeknd. And they produced a song that gained a lot of traction on YouTube and some money. And then MGM, I think the record label for Drake and The Weeknd, had it taken down. But then there was no legislation in place to say that it was copied. You know, because they're now wondering, does Drake own his own voice? Or does the record label own his voice?
Mm-hmm.
right? I see that could happen in Trinidad because I mean
actually it did.
You understand?
I think there was a track where I think it was Ariana, they did an AI of Ariana Grande singing Destra's I Dare You.
Right.
Yeah. I saw that one. I don't right. really care about the weekend or Drake, honestly.
All right. But no. I even around Carnival time there, I tested out. I asked ChatGPT to create a soca in the style of Marshall Montano from Trinidad and Tobago, and it was able to to generate a full song in 4 minutes. So that's the thing. It you know, and then you could copy that and make, you know, changes to it. So as they were saying before, you know, I see it as a tool to speed up stuff, you know. I've used it extensively in developing websites where, you know, sometimes a website might take a month depending because of the copy development and all of that. With this tool now, it makes you as a web developer, you know, more efficient, and you just have to, you know, you will just spend more time fact checking some of the stuff that it you know, it comes up with, you know. So yes, it's scary.
Me,
but
let me give
yes to look too.
I want to just throw out maybe a comparison. So in the early 20th century, when electrical music started to become popular, there was like protests among like live musicians. So live musicians were saying, and many other people in society, they were saying, well, this electronic music thing, like recorded music, is not real music and is not real art and whatnot. And the musicians were kicking up a fuss and so forth, because they were thinking, okay, we'll be put out of jobs, and I mean, it's not fair, this is not real music, they're taking away the art from music. But electronic music synthesizers and everything that comes with 20th and 21st century music has really led to a tremendous growth in the music industry. The music industry in the latter part of the 20th century into the 21st century has made more money than it ever has ever before, and we've created more music than we ever had before. So just saying that to say, we could see the electronic music just as a tool, similar to things like ChatGPT just being a tool to help creatives. I think the human aspect is that spark, that creative spark, which you could equate to like a prompt in a ChatGPT. ChatGPT can't prompt itself, at least not right now, you know? So that creative spark is something that is uniquely human. That's something that we may be able to have the machines do in time, but for now, I don't see any machine who could originate a creative idea. Nothing in ChatGPT is creative. It's all text from the internet.
I'm very intrigued by a lot of what I've heard this evening. And unfortunately, nobody has been able to convince me that we haven't just rediscovered fire and haven't yet realized that we're in the middle of a forest fire. Nobody has convinced me of, yes, the discovery of fire was great, changed mankind. However, learning to handle it is an entirely different thing. I firmly believe that despite humanity's wonderful history of innovation and creativity, that our ethical lack often leads to a misuse of the tools that we develop more than there's benefit. And I would also suggest that even though there would be benefit to the general population, the success is not going to be as equally distributed as the benefit might be. So we're going to see a lot of people benefiting from zero marginal costs. But we're going to see way less people capitalizing on that. So what you're going to get is, again, a great benefits to society. The internet has done wonders. Fire has done wonders. Pasteurization has done wonders. Electronic music has done wonders. The question I would ask now is the music now, despite it being generated in a capacity and to a depth that it never has before, is it any better than the music that we had before? Right? What I'm saying is that by removing gatekeepers, what we're actually doing is possibly lowering the quality of anything that we would have created prior to this. And I recognize the value that, you know, everybody being able to input. But what I'm saying is, I have not yet heard from anybody who is into it, excited by it, or wary of it even. Nobody is saying, well, no, it's not that bad. People saying, don't be afraid. But nobody's saying, no, it's not that bad. And everybody's saying, let's look at the possibilities. And that is all well and good. And I recognize that. But to the efficiency that we're talking about, which is going to lead to success to some people and a benefit generally, but it's also going to be at a cost to a lot more people than it's going to be an immediate success to. Because now I could produce a website in a fraction of the time. However, my copywriter is no longer employed. My graphic designers are no longer employed. And I could pretty soon probably get a program to do the fact checking that I would have wasted my time doing. Right? My question, and I'm excited by it, but that does not mean that I'm not equally wary of it. It is, what is going to stop my surgeon from using ChatGPT to produce his paper, his thesis? What is going to stop? What is going to stop my? What is going to stop my HSE manager from using a program to create a procedure for my compound? Right. One. What? These are the types of things that I'm saying. That, oh, fire is great. We warm and we cooking food. But it's also quite possible that our neighborhood is burning down, but we're well fed. And we warmer than we will.
No, but Ricardo, could I add something there? And I'll bring it back to the music aspect, because I, you know, that's one of my areas there. We're talking about the electronic music, and even locally with soca and calypso, that we have now gone to synthesizers and equipment doing the music. But yet still, some of the best performances that you hear from these artists for the season is at Calypso Fiesta at our live band show, where they're going back to the same musicians which were afraid that the technology would have replaced them. Same thing with Pan. Look how beautiful our Steel Pan songs on when it's put with the same synthesized music. Now, the whole concept of the ChatGPT writing a soca in 4 minutes in the style of Marshall Montano. How much more Marshall Montanos do we want? Don't we want a Anthony Zamore singing soca in his style? So, and just like Ricardo, the fire is there, you know? The wheel spinning, you know? But we're trying to reinvent it with technology so much that we forget the most effective shape of our wheel is round. The technology go on, next thing you know, tell you the best shape is a hexagon. Come on. You can imagine how much more traffic we will be in with hexagon shaped wheels on cars coming down the Solomon Hotra Highway.
Yeah.
Nobody had imagined traffic in Trinidad, Iran.
But, you know, let me throw something out, because the message that resonating with all resonated with me, but the message from Anthony Sherman that really hits me is, what does it mean to be human? And Sherman is talking about creativity inputs, which is the message, something that we have been talking about as well. That for the young ones who getting ready for the future, be wary of what is happening around you, but understand your competitive advantage is the ability to collaborate between you and technology and add your flavor of creativity. That is where, so it's not good enough just to be a lawyer. No. You have AI that going through case law like that. What is your creative argument now in court? Because that is the message I pull in from Sherman there. It's like, okay, yes, you could do this, but where your creativity coming in? And that comes to the question that Anthony asked, you know? what does it mean to be human in this aspect? So, you know, which I find was a real nice area to explore. So I take in what them fellas them say from my point of view and kind of massaging it with my own thoughts there. And I think that's a real powerful message. You know? So kudos to you guys. I know what you think.
Yeah.
I would say this. We speaking a lot about AI, right? But I don't know if you all know about it, the term AGI, Artificial General Intelligence. That is the next step with AI. And, well, they don't know what it how or what it would be able to do, but they're saying in the next 10 months or so, that's what the owner of OpenAI was saying or something like that. But I also look at a TED Talk whereas it gonna replace a lot of jobs and all of that, it will take some time, huh? It wouldn't be, you know, so fast. But you know, in that meantime, we would start to develop, you know, measures and a lot of things in place to kind of, you know, stop that total takeover, you know, or dependency on that, you know.
Yeah. So just to add to what Shuman said, and then, well, on our address. Some of the things that Ricardo had said. In terms of AGI, if there was an existential threat, it would be the threat of AGI. So like the AIs we have right now are specific AIs. So they do specific things. So you might have an AI that could drive a car, you could have an AI that could play chess, you could have an AI that could play Go, but those excel in specific domains. AGI is a general purpose AI model that could do many things. Yeah, so you just tell it whatever, and just like a human, it adapts and does everything. There's a futurist by the name of Ray Kurzweil, and I believe in the 90s, he predicted what is referred to as the singularity. The singularity is the point at which machine cognition equals or exceeds that of human cognition. And he put a date to the singularity of, I think, 2047. And he said at that time, the changes that could happen in society would be so exponential because the machines would be able to improve themselves at an exponential rate. So they could look at their own code, they could make changes. The possibilities are endless. So when we're talking about like the existential threat related to AI, I think it would be within the realm of AGI and the singularity, the point at which machine cognition or intelligence exceeds human cognition. Now, in terms of the points that Ricardo had made, in terms of the concerns, I'm equally concerned. See the benefits, but I'm also concerned. I think in terms of packaging or unpacking the ideas at work, the existential threat, which I just mentioned, and then humanity and the possibility of surveillance and the surveillance state is four things that I would kind of focus on and unpack one by one. With regards to work, I think with all technology, people will lose jobs, but then new jobs will be created. Before the internet, would you have dreamed that we would have podcasters or content creators or influencers? You know, those are completely new things that are made possible through social media and the internet. We could not foresee that. 30, 40 years ago, we couldn't really foresee, not even so long, go back 5 years and think about working remotely, right? It was not really a thing. People didn't really... couldn't conceive of it. I've been working remotely for the last 3 years, like 100% or almost 100%. I go into the office when I feel to go to the office. Yeah. So, and everybody that works with me is the same thing. So I think on the topic of work would take care of itself. You know, people will lose jobs, but new jobs will be created. And that's something that we can't really solve for, or there's mechanisms that we could implement as a society to protect the most vulnerable, which we should do. But outside of that, I think work is a domain that will fix itself in time. And then the fourth aspect is that of the surveillance state, which is something that isn't talked about a lot. So outside of AI becoming super intelligent and having humans as their pets, the surveillance state is a more pressing concern. Imagine plugging in a large language model like ChatGPT into a government database with all citizens' data and telling that model, hey, give me, I want to know what kind of character this is. Oh, I want to know whether this man is more likely to commit a crime than another man. So you'd have things like thought crimes, you know? So just think about a crime, and that might sound far-fetched, but when
but
we...
And I was going to say, it was in some movie?
Minority
yeah,
Report.
It was. Yeah, it
pre-cops,
was.
Right?
Yeah.
But,
it was.
The, so, but here the catch, and this is exactly what I'm talking about, right? We have, it is on record, how many security groups, right? Mm-hmm. Police, military, etc. profile using the data that they collect. Imagine now you have an algorithm that is telling you this group is more likely to perform an act. You are removing the human component. You are removing the ethical component because you'll just be looking at the statistics, the probabilities.
Because we already do it with airline travel.
Mm-hmm.
We stereotype certain people that come from certain places. We say, okay, these people are more likely to be terrorists, and we pull them aside.
Right.
And it goes to the first point that I made in terms of do not anthropomorphize the technology, because you take the power away from human beings and humanity. And then people, when we have advanced systems, people start to worship these systems as gods and believe what they say. And say, system would say, okay, based on all the data, this particular group or this particular person has a greater probability to do a crime, lock up that person, and we say, okay, the AI is all knowing.
Using so the data, stop
yeah,
and
using
search.
The data, yep, so it's dangerous. So the state surveillance is a huge concern. There's a book written by a guy called David Brin in the 90s, a sci-fi book. And he talked about two types of surveillance. He said, talked about surveillance and sous-surveillance. He said surveillance is the top-down, the state watching you, like China. And sous-surveillance, which is the only mechanism for protection that we have, is everybody watching everybody. So the state might be watching me by watching them too. You know, and that keeps them honest. So development of technologies that help individuals also monitor those in charge is important as well. It can't be a one-way thing.
I just want to acknowledge that I'm not a technophobe. Do get that? Because before the company that shall not be named was shut down, I was pulling valve and taking readings. Right, and because of the way that technology advanced, I was able to learn an element of graphic design. I was able to start to engage in some communications. Even now, I can tell you, between last month and this month, some of the programs that I would use to work and edit have started applying AI. So simple things like background removers are cleaner. There was background noise that we recorded that the audience is not going to hear because there's now an AI element in terms of scrubbing vocals and atmospheric sound. So what I'm saying is that even now, you're right, 5 years, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have had the opportunities we have now. So I don't want people to think that, look, Carter just calling out the boogeyman under the bed, right? What I'm saying is that while it may or may not be there, put on the light and check. Put on the light and check, because you know what? You might never have a boogeyman under the bed, but you might find a $5 that you had put on and you'd forget that it was there. What I'm saying is that there are opportunities as well. But let us not ignore the very real need for management of these tools. I love what Anthony said. this let me remember that the humanity element that we considered about is our element that we're going to introduce to these systems and we're going to regulate. Right? Look, Jamaran, get held. Well, he was recorded once again, brandishing a firearm.
Himself.
Right? This man used ChatGPT to fabricate his apology. And somebody went and input to ChatGPT apology for doing something wrong the second time. And word for word, it pulled up the script. So the question remains is now, is this the type of thing that we're going to see happening? And it led to another question that I'm kind of curious about. Now, we know that at this moment, it recombines information that is made available, right? Did the person who typed that into ChatGPT and get the Jamarant letter, is it a case of that was the letter that it would have generated, or because it was generated, when you search for it, that is what it came up with? Like, is it a case of this thing is recombining information, or is it that there are still, at the moment, limited tendrils along which it would perform? You know, are we going to see this type of repetition that's going to cancel all the frivolity, or is it playing a numbers game? What are the odds of this person or so many people asking for a particular task, etc.?
Yeah, in terms of how it works, what it does at a fundamental level, which is crazy because it's so simplistic, but it creates such complex structures. It just predicts the next word in a sequence of text based on what is referred to as a neural network behind it. So just by predicting the next word, it starts with a sentence and just predict the next word. Then that entire sentence with the next word feeds it back into the model. And then next word feeds that back, next word feeds that. And it's crazy what that could do.
Yeah, really fast too.
Yeah.
So it's like predictive text.
It's like predictive text, but is a lot more complex in the sense that that neural network is a neural network with billions of neurons, or billions of individual data points trained on trillions of words from the internet is huge, is massive. And the layers, like a neural net, has various layers. It has like about between 400 and 500 layers. So when you feed in something instantly, almost at the speed of light, it goes through all those layers, comes back out, goes back through. It's crazy.
You know.
But Ricardo, you raised that interesting proposition, which is something that we'll see a lot more going forward as well, in terms of information and misinformation. The ability to generate information en masse that could be an apology, a letter, a photo, video, music, how do we discern what is true from what is untrue when everything could be faked at a very high level of sophistication and at volume, at scale? So how do we know what is real and what is not real in a society like that? So that's another interesting concern.
And what if this, I see in AI being as a robust of this snake that eats its own tail, there's an accumulation of information that it uses to generate information. Mm-hmm. What happens if you feed it enough misinformation? Right? And because how is it going to determine without our ethical standard what is true versus what is not true? And how is it going to define the difference between what is true and what is factual? Because something could be factual, but incomplete in terms of information, so then it is not a complete truth. What I'm saying is, in terms of managing the context, if you feed enough misinformation into this thing that it starts generating a model or prediction based on the misinformation, how is it going to determine? Is it a case of it's going to replicate fallacy? Yeah, you know, it's just...
It will. Because like AI models, the data sets that I use for AI models inherently have a Western bias. Mm-hmm. And you see it in the responses. I think the solution for that is open source models. So like OpenAI, who created ChatGPT at one point in time, OpenAI meant that the model was supposed to be open source, mm-hmm. you know, but is now not open source anymore. It's closed source because of corporate relationships. So I think for us going forward, it's important to have multiple large language models, open source models that could be used by varied groups of people, so that balances. No one entity should have like the dominant language model, you know, then the propensity for misinformation or skewed information is far greater.
I want to spin this, and we kind of touch on it a little bit, but I want to kind of dive on that end of the pool as well. I think our audience might be interested in it as well. And I'll start off with you, Shivan, because we had a brief conversation about this previously. What are some of the applications as it is right now for artificial intelligence or machine learning, anything around in that space, that could be used that might be coming from left field or something that we just have not imagined as yet? So how could this thing be applied in ways that could be innovative or in ways that we may not necessarily see it coming, but it coming, if you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'll give you an example for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I in this space of sustainability, right? Renewable energy technologies and the energy transition. And one of the things that they started to realize is that, listen, old school technology, like power utilities, right? So thermal power plants,
mm-hmm.
has like a certain level of efficiency. Let's say 25%. You're lucky to get 35% of that combined cycle generator, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of learning that AI offers with solar and wind, the efficiency could almost be off the scale. So where a technology, an older piece of technology, you can only get a certain level of efficiency.
Yeah.
With the other technologies, the efficiency could go all the way up, which makes it even more attractive. So like that is something that I never thought about. So it makes that the argument for the transition a lot greater. Yeah, but like from your application experience, what are some of the things that could come about that we just in seeing that, hey, it's coming, but it's already coming, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's strange to say that. What I've seen probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were doing an experiment with a language model, and they gave the language model, I think it was 50,000 words, and tell the language model, could you compress this down to a smaller size? And the language model was able to come up with they don't even know what type of technology it is. It was able to compress that down to, I think the size went down to about 2 or 3 gigs or something like that. And then so they thought it wasn't real. So they send it out, they transfer it to somewhere else, and they asked the model over on that side if it could decompress it, and it bring back up all the words. It wrote its own language, you know. Another thing, I don't know if you all know about it, but there's something called AutoGPT, right? Where this model does reasoning. So somebody asks it, build me a business with $100, and it was able to, well, it you give it task that you want, and then it will come up with like everything that you could possibly think. And then it is check itself as well to see if the facts that it providing, if it is correct and if it is in tune with what you ask. All right. Some of the technologies I see that happening, well, it is already there. I have a couple. Remember, I don't know if we spoke about the PBX system, right? I don't know if I spoke with you about the PBX system.
No.
So I know of a company, right? Not Trinidad-based. They're developing a system where this PBX system would be able to run your business, basically. So I mean, it would replace receptionists and everything like that, because when you call on the phone, you will not be. I don't know if you ever heard about Google Duplex. That was some years ago. I don't know if you know about that technology, but it will be able to answer your queries, and you know, you just put that in a business, and that will be the end of it. You know, it will be able to do outreach, call people, ask questions, that type of thing, and they will not be able to tell if it's real or not, right? And well, that's the scary side of it, right? But I see where, you know, it will create a lot of jobs. You know, because I don't know if you know about prompt engineering, but that's a new type of job that is developing with AI, being able to write prompts. I don't know if, well, you know, Midjourney is developing images. So being able to write the correct prompts to get the correct result from the model itself is a job that is coming up as well, I guess. Wow. And you know, the thing is, I will share it with you when we finish. I asked ChatGPT, I put what you sent to me into ChatGPT, and it, you know, it lists out a whole list of stuff here that I could send with you in terms of what you just asked in terms of the type of applications that would be developed.
Mm-hmm. You know,
time to come. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I use ChatGPT a lot because I just want to see, you know, get familiarized with it, you know, think of it. Why it's so massive. I don't know if I could get everything in one word, but right now I see somebody in Trinidad, right, using ChatGPT to benefit if he has a small business owner. I'm telling you right now, for free, you could go on ChatGPT site and start to work with it there. You know what I mean? I also see, I'm working on chatbots right now. I'm developing chatbots for e-commerce, right? Working on chatbots we were developing one for the law association, like that, to do case law and that type of thing. And then we want to do one. When I say I work with about two other people. We want to do something when you are talking about mental health. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Chatbots could help in that area by the responses of persons, and then do analytic, run it through the statistics to see, right? So that is some of the implications I see with AI. Or even, now, I'm just going to bring an example. I don't know if you know Massey Start Self-Checkout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
much to my chagrin.
I feel sad when I see that machine and I say, oh my god, boy. Jobs, dino casher, dino packer. You understand?
Yeah.
But think about if a company, if I was the owner of a company, or I don't know if I could say the name, a specific cosmetic company in Trinidad that we know customer service isn't that
right.
Great. Think about how your end of year figures will look when people don't have to face that type of negativity with customer service.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, it
will pound foolish. Pound foolish.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So
I was calling the company Dollar Dumb.
But, yeah. You know, they say that people shouldn't be scared about AI and AGI, that but I don't know how true this is. This is one of the speculations or the outcomes that they were looking at, where they would have, I don't know if you all ever heard about universal income.
Right.
machines doing the work. There's no need for people to work so money, and you know, it will free humanity to be more creative, and it will have a food in abundance, because you know. And then why I see this going into agriculture and all, I don't know if you all know about farm bots. If you pair AI with farm bots, that's produced for years, you know what I mean? You don't need that human element in that aspect, because I mean, this I've seen the farm bot work already, and it work in sustainable energy, so it's solar panels powering it. Mm-hmm. And you could run your farm from the phone, right? As well as, you know, because you remember, you wouldn't have to deal with workers and, you know, NIS and all of these.
They have billions of people to feed.
All
you understand, how to feed people.
Beautiful, you know. Beautiful, you know. My concern has never been the potential or lack of potential for gain, you know. As far as I'm concerned, we have enough resources for everybody to eat, and we still have our world hunger problem. Yeah. My issue is that we have a distribution issue based on our ethical lack. And while there might be benefit across the board, the success is not going to be equally distributed or even appropriately distributed, because now the gatekeepers are going to be distribution management specialists. Mm. I will not be able to generate or earn outside of our system because we have a universal system of distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we spend $50 billion a year running this country. $50 billion a year. And we have poor people. Yeah. Bad road. What I'm saying is, it is not a lack of the resource or even a lack of the potential for gaining it. My issue is that the gatekeepers now are going to become distribution specialists. And it will be hard to compete with a system or a structure that's so efficient that, you know what the equivalent going to be? Yes, we have GMO food, but now we have common fowl being more expensive, or what, free range, right? You'll be able to get art that is, you know what, we imagine instead of saying that this is original art, we're going to have to say that this is non-AI generated, right? The same way we have a joiner was catching the tail for work before, he's now a craftsman, you know, because we could only compress sawdust and build it yourself and DIY for so long before you want a quality from a true tradesman, from a true specialist. So what I'm saying is that there might be gain, you know, but success going to be harder for the vast majority.
Yeah. But guys, I know we're not running down in terms of time.
I'm watching it.
Yeah, boy. But it is a very enlightening conversation. So I wanna pass the ball over to Anthony to kind of give us his perspective before we do a little closing around there, boy. So Anthony, what is your thoughts on some of the things we're talking about now?
Well, just two things on what Ricardo just said. I agree. Technologies have a tendency to centralize, and the distribution of technologies and the benefits that come from technologies aren't always even. That being said, I think I used the term arbitrage before. At the start of any technological revolution, you have great opportunities for arbitrage, great opportunities for gains. And going into, as we go further into the 21st century, I think more and more, because of these technologies, individuals would become could be referred to as sovereign individuals. The power of the state and the power of centralized institutions will wane. Decentralization would become a lot more common, and individuals using technology in a very smart, clever ways would be able to rival what corporations in the 50s or the latter part of the 20th century could have done. So that's one point. The second quick point in terms of areas that I see in the future, things that I'm particularly interested in, I think we enter in a world of a parallel payment system or a parallel payment economy. So currently, money and payments change hands through people, right? I pay you, you pay me, employer pays you, and so forth. And that's how money circulates between people. Money would soon circulate between machines, largely between intelligent machines. So OpenAI is also developing plugins, right? These plugins are applications that talk to other applications. So for instance, you might have an Expedia plugin, right? So you'll be able to go on ChatGPT and say, okay, book me an Expedia trip. I want to go here. And these are my details, right? Those plugins would become monetized using existing decentralized crypto networks. The most common network or the fastest network for this use case is Lightning Network, which is a layer 2 network to the Bitcoin network. I think eventually everybody would have like a cryptocurrency wallet tied to Lightning Network, and intelligent agents would make payments. You'd have intelligent agents being installed in your car. You pull up to a gas station and the car would, payments would be a thing between machines largely and not between people. Yeah, but the crypto side of it, that's another conversation that I would love to have at some point in time.
Wow, that is, I mean, 2-year-old blew my mind here, boy. I honestly have not thought about these concepts as it can be applied, and this could happen now, right?
Yeah, this could happen now. So Lightning is something. So like with Lightning Network, you could send a payment using the Lightning Network for fractions of a cent. Lightning, because it's so cheap and because it's so fast, introduces like streaming payments. So imagine instead of a fixed monthly payment for a salary, you could stream money just as you would stream video. So a use case is like your Netflix account. So you pay a subscription at the end of the month. What if you don't use your Netflix? Then you're just paying the subscription for anything. What if there was a network that was so cheap that I could pay fractions of a cent based on the seconds of video I watch? So if I watch 1 hour, I pay just for that. So it's streaming money, and that's possible now. So like, yeah, so like crypto and AI are twin technologies. They intertwined in so many ways, or they will become intertwined. Is quite interesting. Yeah.
Wow. Well, guys, I mean, you come hoping to get fruit and we get a fruit basket and maybe the whole market here. I want to throw it over to you, boy, Aaron. What do you think about our conversation so far as we wrapping up and we closing? I see a hole in your head.
Honestly, I came into this conversation unknowing and ignorant towards AI. And if you don't know that there's a difference between ignorance and arrogance, you clearly haven't been listening to us enough here in Inquisitive Minds. But I did learn a lot in this conversation, and that last part there about the linking between the AI and the cryptocurrency is a real point. It's just driving home for me that eventually, even my lack of wanting to get into and understanding this cryptocurrency space, it's now going to be like, yeah, you really do have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the ignorance of not knowing is now being replaced with a want to know and want to learn more. But also, it still has, as I said at the start, that pensiveness towards the topic as a whole. But I want to say thanks, fellas, for coming on today and giving this conversation, because it's a conversation which I didn't think I wanted to have, but I come out of it glad that I had it.
Yeah. I mean, words well put across, Chief. Tato boy, how in closing way, how you thought this process was for you?
Well, I actually want to get Anthony and Shimon pictures so I could add them to the logo. Because the way I see it, brother, I could have more of this conversation. One, I feel like we only begin to scratch the surface of the range of topics we could get into coming from this. Right? Excellent contribution, fellas. Really want to be able to have more of these conversations with you guys. So I guess we'll discuss that as a team and figure out what we could do. Because I think being able to refine the information that y'all exposed to and redistribute it accordingly, so that the people who, like Aaron is not an unintelligent fella. And Aaron coming into our conversation and leaving overwhelmed by how much he learned, that for me is a signal that, hey, listen, we on the right path. I'm recognizing here that even in this, we have, I used the term gatekeepers earlier, but we do have stewards who are trying their best to make sure that the fire is contained. And I want to thank you guys for investing in the developments and in the changes that, yes, success is going to be limited to a few, but the benefit could still be to a majority. And I want to thank you guys for that. I also now starting to feel a curiosity because I'm foreseeing that in the information age and in our communication age, what you know is going to be a lot less important than being able to find information or being able to reapply it in a constructive way. But what I'm also seeing, and I've said it before, that the ability to communicate is going to be the next thing. I was telling everybody, study all the tech you want. Listen, communication is going to be an issue. Yeah. I now starting to realize that there's an entire economy of ethics that is going to have to come to the forefront. And I'm going to look around as to see, well, how we could support the stewards and the fellas in front, the frontline workers, right, who trying to make sure that this fire doesn't overwhelm us. I'm very excited by what we heard. I'm looking forward to more conversations with you guys. And Brendan, a great job on bringing this together. Sherman, thanks. Anthony, thanks. Aaron, thank you. And back to you, Brendan. Oh, wait, yeah, social stage on the local stage. You know, I'm the metaphor king, you know.
You can say that here.
Yeah, you know, we don't know how much time, our glass is opaque. We don't know how much time remains. Whatever you're doing, be good and stay safe. Right, yeah, right.
ChatGPT could tell you how much time remains. Real quick, it's not a question to pose, but it's a question that I am actually walking away with. And Ricardo was talking about the gatekeepers and the system and the capitalists and these different things. If we had a different social structure and a different, in terms of if capitalism was not at the fore now, would the AI be as openly accepted, or would the gatekeepers allow it? That's something I live in, because remember, it's about who make any money off it. Huh? So if everybody could have made the money, if it was socialism, would it have been accepted?
I don't think people would have been afraid of it if we were sure that the benefit would be general.
All-encompassing.
I think the only reason to be afraid of things getting better is because we know that it generally gets better for less than it does for more. But... again, that the ethical element of it.
Yeah, and I was saying it's something I live in with, next conversation. Back to you, Zoom.
So, boy, let me say thanks, guys, and I will probably leave the episode for you two to close. But thank you for coming on, Anthony. You have given me some in-depth things to ponder on. I'll be thinking about this for a few days. And Sherman, thank you for speaking about small businesses and the opportunity that is in front of them. So for our listeners who have an idea that you want to exercise and think about and you need help to kind of massage your ideas, I mean, we're talking about tools and techniques that can help you bring this forth, you know? So thanks a lot. I love talking about unintended consequences of things. So sometimes we have an idea of how things are going to play out. And then there's sometimes things that come left field. And I thought I had an idea what the left field was, but my mind has been blown. So thanks for that. And I'll probably hand over to you I don't know who wants to go first, just to close, but thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Well, I'll go first. I just want to say thanks for having me. It was an honor. And I know I learned some stuff as well. So it worked hand in hand. And I see we probably might meet again because this topic is so big. And we didn't touch as we ended off with crypto. I don't know if you know what's the CBDC, right? Which is a currency, cryptocurrency coming to all countries. Well, the IMF has something on there. Yeah. Man, I like the vibes. The vibes was nice. Could see myself, being on again. And I just want to thank everybody. All right, take care.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I would also like to say thank you, guys. Thanks for the invitation. Had a lot of fun. And yeah, we could do this again anytime you guys are ready.
Yeah, man. So we're closing off there.
Hey. Yeah, I just saying, though, but when you all do come back, it's going to have
when
exponentially more shit talk than this one. Just telling you.
We normally really do talk more crap than this, but
yeah.
Well, today was just bro.
The policy, the policy. Mm-hmm.
And in closing, my last thing I go and say, just look out for my soca in 2024.
Right. Oh, yeah, no way, Joe.
Now that I know ChatGPT doing
he
so good.
Right.
EJAI 868.
Whoa.
Oh, good. It's gonna be real tears, yes.
No, it's gonna be a very interesting conversation and definitely a part two, guys. I mean, I'll probably give a little space. I know everybody busy and thing, but as soon as we're ready,
Brendan, AI moving too fast. There's no space to give this thing. We wait too long. When we come back, the conversation going to be the AGI and
a whole different. Because I still wanted to talk about deep fakes. I didn't go down that road.
That's what I'm telling you.
I think an interesting topic is like money, crypto at large, but money and like the ethics of money, more specifically the ethics of money production, which I do think a lot of people think about. People take money for granted, and how money works, that's a deep topic that should be explored.
I agree 10,000%.
To quote the great Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly in the movie Step Brothers, did we just become best friends? this is good food, man. This is good food. Thanks for the meal, fellas.
Thanks for the meal.
Yes, I.
Yeah.
Episodes of Inquisitive Minds podcast are available on all major podcast providers. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel at Inquisitive Minds. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.